Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
A few weeks ago, I brought a message about going, and I shared with you that the message of Jesus has always been, always will be, a going message. And not just to go around the world, but to go around the corner. Amen to that. And what a wonderful opportunity. This has been an exciting week at the Fountain of Life to be able to share with our neighbors. But Kingdom Builders is also around the corner, but it's also going around the world. I want to talk to you about that today as we really finish up the Kingdom Builders sermon series today. I was thinking before I came that the Kingdom Builders message series, it concludes today, but really, Kingdom Builders is just getting started. Just getting started. I'm going to ask you this morning to turn your Bible to the book of Haggai, the Old Testament prophet Haggai. Now, I know it's going to take you some time to find it, so I'm going to give you a clue. Go to Matthew and just back up three books. Okay, I think it's three. And you'll find it right there. Now, let me just give you the setting before we read Haggai chapter 1. Some weeks ago, I talked about Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. That happened about 80 years after this. Now, the Jewish people had been in captivity in Babylon for about 70 years. God did some amazing miracles. How many of you know or believe God is in the details of our life? And God worked out some amazing details to get his people delivered and freed from Babylon, and they came back home to Jerusalem. I want you to know, if you're far from God, his heart is for you to come back home. And you don't just come back by yourself. God is in the details of your life. Some of you are here today just because God got involved in the details of your life. Can you say amen out loud? So they come back after 70 years, and what do they find? The temple that was so beautiful is destroyed. It's lying in ruins. But they're so excited to be back with God, so excited to be freed from their captivity, that they begin immediately to work on the rebuilding of the temple. They lay the foundation. And there it is. And after the foundation was laid, something happened. Somehow, I don't know how or why, but they got distracted from building the temple. Let me hit the pause button right here. I think you know that we're not building temples, we're building the kingdom. You can't house the kingdom inside a building. The building, the local church is in the kingdom, but the kingdom is bigger than the local church. And while we work local, we must think global. Can I get somebody to shout back at me today and say amen? And so here they begin to build, but they got discouraged because the enemy was being critical and coming against them. But then they got distracted. They were so excited to be back home, so thrilled with God that now their captivity was over, and so thrilled to get started building on the temple. I don't know what happened. Kind of the same thing that happens with us, I think. We get so happy to be delivered from sin and out of darkness into his marvelous light. Anybody know what it felt like that day that God lifted the burden off of your back and brought you into the kingdom of God? Does anybody remember the day when you used to be drunk and now you're free? Hallelujah. Sister Annette, stand up, child. She'll happily tell you she's 88 years old. Listen here. She spent her life drinking. I'll never forget what she told me. If she would have died, they wouldn't even have had to embalm her. She was so full of alcohol. But the Lord saved her, set her free. She just got out of the hospital having a stroke, and you can't keep a woman of God down. Praise the Lord, sister. Woo! Man, Man, I love your testimony. Can I ask you a question, Sister Renette? How does it feel today as opposed to back in the day when you were in bondage? I am blessed with His grace. Does anybody else remember the day that the Lord touched your life? Can you shout amen out loud in the house? How many wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the Lord that was on your side? Praise God. But there's something about when you first come to Jesus, there's a zeal and a fire in your bones, you know? Then sometimes we get discouraged. Life can throw a curveball at you. And things sometimes distract us. That's exactly what happened to them in the book of Haggai. I'd like to take you to verse number 1. Oh, by the way, they'd been back home now 20 years. Immediately they started rebuilding, but 20 years had passed. They quit working on the temple. Guess what they were building? Their own house. There's some real nice subdivisions going up in Jerusalem. So Haggai is like an alarm clock. How many like your alarm clock? How many know it's necessary? This is not a trick question. We don't like our alarm clock, but it is necessary. We don't always like sermons like I'm about to preach, but they're necessary. Amen to that. 20 years have gone by now since they laid the bricks down. And Haggai comes with a sermon. Verse number 1. Here it is. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Back in my early days, I would have skipped right over this verse. But you could preach a whole sermon just on the prepositions that are there. In the second year talks about timing. And I want everybody to know here that timing, God has a perfect time. So when He mentions the time, it's not abstract. God's word is never abstract. It speaks to people, and God's word speaks to specific situations. In the second year speaks of timing. It was the word of the Lord. That means He's the source. It was through Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel the servant. You see, the word came through Haggai, but it wasn't from Haggai. Can I preach a little bit here this morning? So you see, the cool thing is the word didn't come from Haggai, it came through. So it was the word of the Lord through the prophet to the people. So if anything ever comes out of my mouth that helps you, know this. It didn't come from me, it just came through me. See, because Russ Hodgins, in his flesh, he can't save anybody, can't heal anybody, can't deliver anybody, can't set anybody free. You need a whole lot more than what I got. You need a word from the Lord. You are way too desperate. I almost said messed up, but we're all messed up without God. When we come in this room, some of you have had a hard week, could be on the edge of divorce, financial ruin, a relationship that's gone bad, just so discouraged, so depressed. When you come through those doors on a Sunday morning, you need more than what Russ has got to give you. You need a word from God, because one word from God can change your life forever. How many agree with that? Say amen out loud. It was the word of the Lord through the prophet to the people. God's word is not some abstract history book. It speaks to us directly, and it speaks to specific situation. I know you didn't come here for a history lesson today. We came for a word from the Lord. It's only coming through the pastor. Praise God. Let's go to verse number 2 and read through verse number 9. If you have your Bible open, If not, the big screen will help you. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. That's what the people were saying. The time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Here's what he said. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You can't even make it to the next paycheck. Oh. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And that's one of the most graphic illustrations of God being out of priority that I've ever seen in my life. You scroll, and you're never entertained. It's not there. I just made that one up. This is what the Lord Almighty says. And again, he says, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. How many of you know God wants to be honored in our lives? But they weren't honoring God. He says, go get the timber and don't tell me there's no provision. All the timber's there. You've just been using it to build your house. Go get the timber and bring it down and build my house so that I might be honored. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Interesting. Interesting. What you brought home, God said, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Quiet in here, isn't it, Luann? Nehemiah just said, I should make it louder. Okay, bro! I have a very challenging message for you. Please turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. Don't miss this. See, I think God often presents himself in the form of opportunity. Somebody say, opportunity. And when you look at Haggai chapter 1, the prophet presents an opportunity for the people to build with him. He's speaking of the Lord's house, of course, and I said it a moment ago, permit me to say it again, this is not about building a building. They were building a physical temple. We are reaching people for Jesus so that they can become the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, God does not dwell, the Bible says, in temples made with hands. You cannot house the kingdom in a building. Everything that Kingdom Builders is about has nothing to do with buying or building buildings. It has everything to do with reaching people with the good news of Jesus. I wish you'd shout amen out loud. But Haggai has a very hard job as a preacher. See, he has to deliver a message to an urgent message to a people who are quite comfortable. Funny how comfort always gets in the way of vision. When God gives us a vision of what he's going to do next, we can either stay in our comfort zone or do the radical thing he's calling us to do. John Maxwell wrote a book recently, and I extrapolated just a little bit of it to share with you the zones, if you'll put them up for me. And here they are. There's the coasting zone. That means I do as little as possible. Don't come too close up my street. There's the comfort zone. I do what I've always done. And there's the challenge zone. I attempt to do what I haven't done before. And for some of you, if you want something you have never had before, you may have to do something you have never done before. And he starts out by showing them how their priorities have prevented their progress. I said their priorities were preventing their progress. Verse number 2, one more time. Here's what the people were saying. I think God was eavesdropping. He heard their conversation. And here's what the people were saying. The time is not yet The time is not yet to build the Lord's house. They made their excuse sound so spiritual. See, they couldn't speak against the idea of building the temple, so they just said, not now. They didn't say, not ever. They just said, not now. So what they were doing was an old problem called procrastination. It doesn't matter what you call it. Doesn't matter how spiritual it looks or sounds. It was procrastination. Anybody here have a problem with procrastination? Well, you're more honest than the first crowd. They needed deliverance from a lying spirit. I had a friend in Staten Island. He was the best procrastinator ever hit the planet. He said, why put off to tomorrow what you can put off to the day after? You know what? In the church, we got a real super spiritual way, Pastor Dave, of procrastinating. You want to hear what it is? I'll pray about it. Brother, I'm praying about it. Oh, what you praying about? Tithing. There's some things that don't require prayer. See, if God said it, you don't need to pray about it. You just need to do it. Well, what you praying about? I'm praying about whether or not I should serve in the church. Are you? What about you sharing your faith? I'm praying about it. Some things, I guess, could I just suggest this to you? That if Jesus said it and taught it, we don't need to pray about it. Some things don't require a prayer. They just require action.
We hope you enjoyed the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.